Time for the game plan with Anthony Seibold.
Gee, Seeps, morning, mate. You want to add some passion to the fire? Just chuck some fuel on.
Morning, Matty. Sharky very fired up, and that's great to see the passion from Sharky, and you know, happy to talk about why he's so passionate.
And this is the thing that I think is coming out. I mean, the decision today is around the grand final, but the reason why they're doing all of this is because of where the money was supposed to go and hasn't gone. And now this, our text board is lit up on about that. So, like I just said to Sharky there, I wonder if there's more passion around supporters about what happens to their local grounds as opposed to where the grand final ends up. And I think it's absolutely the former at the moment. We're worrying about the latter. But we can talk about that later and keep your thoughts coming on the open line or via text. Now, Newcastle Knights, Siebs, let's dig into a bit of the issues and problems up there. You worked, of course, at the Knights last year, and we know what's unfolding at the moment with the integrity unit and a couple of players stood down. I want to tap into you on the leadership issue at the club. Peter Parr yesterday, out of all of the things that he didn't say, actually addressed the fact that they think there's a leadership problem at the club. Is that what you saw there? And if so, how does that turn around?
Yeah, it's a bit of a different experience last year. I was consulting for the Knights, and part of my role was only 2 days a week, Matty. So you don't get a full picture of you know, being there 24/7 in that camp. And my role, mate, was to be, you know, a mentor to the assistant coaches and just be a bit of a sounding board for Adam. And it wasn't until the competition moved up to Twin Waters for the last 8 or so weeks that, you know, I went up there. Adam asked me to go up there full time, and I actually was back on the grass coaching, mate. So, look, my prerogative was that it was a young group who worked really hard. That was one thing that I did see. And I saw that, you know, and I knew this, you know, Adam, a very good coach. It's been a really challenging year. This has been the toughest year of his coaching career. There's no doubt about that, whether it's been an assistant or a head coach. So there's some challenges there. Do they lack some leadership? Well, it looks like they do. And, you know, that's something that you can't manufacture. You've either got to recruit it if you don't have it, and you'll look at Adam Reynolds and what he's done. You look at Chad Townsend and what he's done at the Cowboys and Broncos and Reynolds' case, or you've got to try and develop it over a period of time. And that's what they're trying to do. Like having Jaden Browley and Kalen Ponga as the captains, they're both, you know, not in their mid-20s yet. You know, they're both sort of 23, 24. So they're very young from a, you know, from a games perspective, a leadership perspective. And, you know, it's really disappointing to see. I've got to say, knowing Kalen and Kurt Mann, you know, on a personal level, it was really disappointing to see them, you know, whilst their teammates are playing, you know, at a pub. And obviously there's a lot of insinuations around, you know, what they're doing in the toilet and so on. So I don't want to comment on that. But the thing I can comment on is that it reflects poorly on both those guys and the club that they were watching the game at the pub, or they were drinking whilst the game was on. If they want to go out, that's their prerogative. I'm not sure about the rules in place with regards to drinking, but I do know at the clubs I've been at, that the rule is if you're coming back from injury, there's no alcohol.
You know what it's like to be in a one-team town, and Newcastle, I mean, no matter where they went, they were going to be under the microscope. So it's interesting, isn't it? You don't know what the rules are about going out. We do know what the rules are around drinking and how much, etc. However, it is a horrible look for a club that's having a tough year. Just on the issue of captaincy, so as Peter Parr was trying to explain a whole stack of stuff yesterday, he touched on the issue of, without naming him, Jonathan Thurston. Now, there are plenty of bumps in the road for Jonathan Thurston, who ended up becoming one of the great leaders, if not one of the greatest players the game has seen. So how do you then view somebody like Kalen Ponga, who is earmarked there, he's paid the most money, he's locked up long term, that's where they put all their eggs into the Kalen Ponga basket. Do you think that giving him the captaincy might have been too much too soon, or do you see that you can grow into becoming a good captain? Or is it a different issue totally? Do you look for somebody else who's been around the game for a long time, knows the ins and outs, the bruises, the bad looks, what you do and don't do publicly?
Well, one thing I did observe, like, you know, guys like Daniel Safidi, you know, they've got some leadership qualities as well. Now, you know, again, you need to, when you've only got young captains, and I had this with myself up in Brisbane, you know, Pat Carrigan was a captain before his time, but what we were trying to do was generate some cultural change within the club there, and try and transition some of those younger players into the leadership group, because we had a predominantly young side. So it's probably not unlike the Newcastle Knights situation. There's, you know, the elder statesmen are guys like Clemmer, guys like Tyson Frizzell, and I'm sure they would get around Kalen. But, yeah, it's a big job for Kalen as a young player when probably his consistency over a period of time, you know, he's probably been a little bit inconsistent. At his best, he's 9 out of 10. But there's been other games that he's been critiqued that, you know, for the marquee player he is, potentially it's not week in, week out with his performances. And Kalen would know that. He's still trying to grow as a person. I think the best leaders I've worked with at different clubs have been 24/7. They're all in. And, you know, look at guys like Cameron Smith and Billy Slater and Cooper Cronk. And they're the easy ones to mention at the Storm. But there's other guys like Ryan Hinchcliffe and Ryan Hoffman who were 24/7 leaders. And when I was at South, you know, I was really fortunate. Like, you know, Greg Inglis and Sam Burgess and John Sutton were great leaders in the locker room, and they perform with their actions and so on. But there was other leaders outside of that with the way they carried themselves. You know, so, look, it's a really challenging time. It's the last thing that Adam O'Brien needs as a head coach. Like, they've had two players turn up late for the bus. It's a bad look. They've had two players out drinking, you know, in Newcastle where those guys are really well recognised and well known while their teammates are playing. It's a bad look, right? It's not that, you know, it's not where the club wants to be. I've got no doubt about that. Peter Parr has come in there and obviously wants to make, you know, some change with regards to that. And knowing Adam really well, this isn't Adam. You know, this isn't what Adam's about as a coach. But he's in a situation where there's some challenges presented. And you know, I know from first experience, it's difficult when a lot of the off-field stuff takes up your focus and your time.
So you got, and that's exactly the point, isn't it? You got Best and Tuala being stood down. You've got Ponga and Mann being investigated by the integrity unit. And on top of that, we had the Clemmer thing as well. On top of that, you've got a season that's gone pear-shaped. When you're in the middle of that, Siebs, where do you start? Was yesterday the turning point? Do you start by drawing a line in the sand? Does somebody have to read the Riot Act, or do you need to clean out and start again? Because it must feel in the middle of it like the spiral's just never going to end.
Well, it's you know, look at the last 3 weeks. It's been one thing after another, hasn't it? And they've been distractions to what they're trying to do from a footy perspective. You know, but there's elements of, you know, I suppose there's elements of selfishness there. Like, if you're turning up late for the bus, like, those two boys are good lads. I know those guys. I did a bit of work with those guys last year. They're good lads, right? But if you keep other people waiting, that's being selfish, isn't it? That's the reality of it. You know, if you're out having a drink while your teammates are playing, again, like, it's a selfish action. And those guys aren't selfish people, but they're just, they've made some options there that potentially you would argue aren't team first. Well, they aren't team first. That's the reality of it. And they distract away with what the group's trying to do, and it gives ammunition for people outside the club to be critical of Adam, be critical of the Newcastle Knights club. And Peter Parr's a good operator, and I think they've tried to set a standard there with standing Bradman and Inari down. I think in isolation, it's not the world's biggest crime, but it's selfish, and it's not team first. And if you've got your teammates waiting, my understanding is that it was before the game. You know, that impacts everyone else's preparation, and it impacts the staff's preparation. So, again, little thing in isolation, but I heard Peter Parr say, you know, he has to start with the little things, and because they become big things.
The snowball effect in rugby league, absolutely. We're doing the game plan with Anthony Seibold this morning. After the news, should the Bunnies risk Latrell Mitchell? How much of a difference does Mitchell Moses' return for the Eels make? The top tactics, of course, from the round just gone, and tips for round 23. 0457 736 736 is the text line, or give us a buzz, 1300 01 1170. And the game plan with Anthony Seibold continues right here on the morning show. Siebs, Latrell Mitchell, so named for the Bunnies match against the Panthers tomorrow night, despite that groin injury. Would you risk him at this stage? I mean, he's absolutely flying, and the Rabbitohs are flying with him. What kind of call do you make here?
Yeah, how good are they going? You know, they've been outstanding the last couple of weeks. Just their attack. Got so many focal points, and obviously Latrell's one of those you know, big focal points with regards to their attack. Look, you wouldn't risk him, and I don't think Jason Demetriou and the coaching staff would risk Latrell. You know, he won't play unless he's fully fit, because if he plays and he's only half fit and he gets injured, well then, you know, Latrell misses a couple of games, and you certainly don't want that. So I would say that on the side of caution, you know, he's been named. Obviously, he'll have some sort of fitness test during the week. But, you know, if he's not right, they won't risk him regardless of how big the game is against Penrith.
Is he like a caged lion at the moment? I mean, is he more dangerous sitting on the sideline just getting pent-up emotion ready to rumble for the following week? Or you just, I mean, that kind of player is a field player, isn't he? And when his body and mind's in the right place, well, I mean, as a coach, what do? Just let him go out and just do what he's going to do?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know Latrell personally, but just having a look at his body language, how fit and powerful he looks at the moment, you know, his work rate across the field, it's probably career best in some regards. And if you look at the influences on games, they've only lost that Golden Point game against Cronulla where they did have some opportunity to win it in Golden Point time. That's the only loss out of what the last 9 weeks or something like that since he's been back. So they've built their season off the back of Latrell coming back fit, fast. He looks happy. Body language is great. He's got, you know, such an influence on the team. So they won't risk him. But if he does miss a game, you'd rather that than miss a block of games.
If there's two teams to come outside of the top four and make a charge at this premiership, would you put the Rabbitohs and the Roosters? We're at the SCG on Saturday. They were very impressive against the second-place Cowboys. So are they the two that you would earmark? Obviously, with a few rounds to go, they may, or the Bunnies may end up inside of the top four. And then that begs the question, do you think that 2022 could be the year that a team outside the top four could win it?
Well, I think this potentially could be the year. Roosters and the Rabbitohs are the two outside the top four at the moment who can win it from outside. And it's never been done. So if one of those two teams were to do it, it'd be an NRL first. Look, but they've got the weapons, don't they? Like we as we spoke about, how, you know, live, watching the physicality of the Roosters in that first 20 minutes, watching them the week before against the Broncos, their physicality in the first 20 minutes. So that was, we were Hargraves, Radley, Matt Lodge has made a significant impact there on the group. And that's allowed Tedesco and Keary and Sam Walker and Joey Manu, you know, some, you know, Suwali, those guys to unleash. And they've scored a whole heap of points over the last block of four or five games. So they can do it. The Rabbitohs, well, look, they made a statement against Parramatta on both sides of the ball. Because I had question marks, I've got to say, about their defence. I thought they were leaking too much or too many points in during the year. But they looked as though they've improved that over recent weeks. But their attack is just, it's a weapon for them. And they can score enough points to beat any team in the competition on their day. So those two are clear standouts outside the four.
So you just touched on this, but Roosterman on the text line says, where do you see the Roosters? As in, Siebes, can they go the whole way? And you think they might be able to?
Well, I think they can, because there's a couple of things. You look at, you know, history leaves clues, right? So although they haven't done it from outside the four, Trent Robinson's a premiership-winning coach. They've got premiership-winning players there. So Luke Keary's won 3 premierships. Tedesco's won 2 premierships. Manu, all those guys have won big games. And they've played in big games, whether it's Origin or at Test level. So there's a chunk of their players who have done it on the biggest days. They performed under the pressure of those big games. So, of course, they can do it. So I think Rooster Man, I like the way the Roosters are coming into the playoffs. I really do. I think them and the Bunnies, like, if you're the top four teams, you're definitely looking over your shoulder, because they've, you know, history leaves clues.
And then what about the Eels? 7th on the ladder at the moment. Mitchell Moses returns for this weekend. They've got the Bulldogs, Broncos and Storm on the run into the finals. They're the Jekyll and Hyde team of the competition at the top end, no question. So Mitchell Moses is a massive in this weekend.
Yeah, of course he is. I think the thing that he brings is their end of set. So one of the things that when Parramatta play really well, Mitchell Moses kicking game or taking the opportunity to run it on the last is something that they score a significant amount of tries on the last play. And a lot of it is off the back of Mitchell Moses looking up, seeing some opportunities to run the ball. Like if the wingers drop back early, or a short side wingers drop back early, or alternatively, identify space to kick to, or those crossfield kicks where Parramatta players get into the contest. He's outstanding at it, probably almost the best in the competition at taking opportunities on the last. So he's a big in. But if we look at their consistency across the year, they get up for the big games, and other times they don't. They almost, like I did hear Andrew Johns say last week, you know, they're consistently inconsistent. And that's probably a really good way to summarise the Parramatta. On their day, again, we've seen it. They're the only team to beat Penrith. They've beaten them twice. They beat Melbourne Storm early in the year, but also they've lost some games against the Bulldogs and West Tigers, some of the teams down towards the bottom of the table. And their performance against South Sydney was really disappointing. And I heard Brad Arthur talk about the physicality. And they've got a really good – I really like Parramatta's pack, but I thought that was pretty fair comments after the game that they got beaten from a physical perspective against the Bunnies.
which is interesting, isn't it? You talk about stepping up for the big games, and you look at this weekend's, for instance, against the Bulldogs. Now, regardless of the fact of where the Doggies are standing on the ladder, they're down in 12th. It's a big game for the Parramatta Eels. So that's where they need to obviously get into that psyche that every game at the moment is a big game, regardless of your opposition. The Manly Seagulls, so they had a 20-point loss to the Titans last round. Nothing's gone right since that Pride jersey saga. Do you think that that has split their squad, and do you think that that's start-again territory for the end of this season?
Well, I think that's an easy comment to say. You know, they've lost a couple of games since, you know, since that week occurred. Look, who knows? Only if you're in the inner sanctum. Like, we can speculate from outside the group and have an experience, you know, like, you know, you can speculate around locker rooms and whether they're split or whether they're connected and all that type of thing. Look, one thing I do know, they didn't play well on the weekend. They were beaten in the effort areas by the team sitting 16th, and you've got to give some credit to the Gold Coast. But the thing that would have disappointed Des Hasler, the things that don't take talent, don't take skill, like their kick sprint, their kick pressure, their inside pressure, filling the space when the ball went away from them, all the things that don't take any talent or skill, they weren't good enough. And that's where Des Hasler would have been super disappointed post-game, particularly because they were still playing for a top eight position. So who knows if there's you know, a disconnect in the locker room. That's only speculation. And I wouldn't want to give that oxygen, but what I do know is they were way off from an effort point of view on Sunday afternoon.
All right, let's hook into our top tactics that you saw from round 22 just gone.
Well, I want to start with the Bunnies and their trial line attack. I spoke before about the weapons they've got in their team, but Cameron Murray, I spoke about him last week as one of the tactics, yeah. But one of the things I saw on the weekend, every time they got down to attacking inside the 20-metre zone of Parramatta's try line, they were using Cameron Murray at the post. So he was either the ball player, so he was getting the ball roughly around where the black dot is on the goal post, and he was that extra pair of hands that allowed young Dean Hawkins or Cody Walker or Latrell Mitchell to get a little bit wider. So Cameron Murray's ball-playing ability, spoke about the variation in his game. I thought they did it exceptionally well. They looked like scoring every time they got down there, Matty. They really did. And the focal point was Cam Murray, but then there were some really big attacking weapons across the attacking line, but a couple of holes wider. It just unlocks, you know, Latrell Mitchell one-on-one with the centre, or Cody Walker, you know, going at the line with less inside pressure. That's dangerous. So I really like the way they attacked their trial line apparel on the weekend.
Bunny's try line attack, one of the top tactics. The next one?
Yeah, number two, our game that we covered on Saturday afternoon for SEN, Matty. Lodge, Weary, Hargraves and Radley. That middle forward unit were outstanding. I spoke about their physicality last week. The thing I liked this week was, and we spoke about Timmy Manor, who was in commentary with
Loved
it, right? So both times, well, Matt Lodge scored his first try for about 3 years, but it was off the back of a run around with Weary Hargraves, Radley, and Matt Lodge hitting a line. And, mate, I remember Peter Sterling used to say run arounds like are underused play close to the line, because what happens is when you run around someone, the defence plant their feet, so they stop. So we saw that with the Cowboys the other day. It actually makes defenders plant their feet so they can't get off the line and put grass behind them, because when you're defending your try line, you want to try and get to the 10-metre line. That's your goal. And you can't on a runaround because you've got to plant your feet. And I just thought they did it a couple of times there. But just their connection, their combination, it's shown significant improvement over the last couple of weeks. And it's been a real reason why they've been such a weapon. Those three guys are leading. But I just love that tactical flexibility that they had close to the line where they had that runaround a couple of times.
Yeah, Timmy loved it from the commentary box. I had a chat with him on the program on Monday morning, mate. I think he was still watching it over and over on replay as well. So Lodge, JWH, Victor the Inflictor, combining beautifully. So number three.
Okay, so we've spoken about try line attack. I want to give the Melbourne Storm a massive rap from a tactical perspective of what they did defending their try line against the Panthers. Panthers had far more possession, far more field position. So they had a huge amount of play the balls inside the Melbourne Storm 20. What they did really well, Cameron Munster gets so much credit for what he does on the ball. Well, his defensive organisation inside that 20 metres was outstanding. He found the appropriate times to plug in the line to thicken the line up. So essentially you have one marker. Once you get inside 10 metres, Melbourne Storm were having one marker, and then Cameron Munster was plugging in the line. So you had one marker, and it gives you 12 defenders on their feet across the line. So it's a really thick line. And they're able to take away the threats of the Penrith Panthers because of that thickness in their defensive line. The other thing they did really well was get to the 10. So their first three steps, have a look when you watch the Storm play, defend inside their 10 metre zone. They get to the 10, so they put grass behind them. So exceptional job there with their inside 20 metre defence.
Great insights into the tactics on round 22, which leads us, Siebs, to this weekend. So we start, of course, tomorrow night at Accor Stadium, the Rabbitohs v. the Panthers. So not sure if Latrell's going to start this one. So your tips for this weekend, Bunnies v. Panthers first up.
Yeah, well, Dylan Edwards is back for Penrith, so that's a big in. They're still missing some other key players there. The Bunnies, look, if Latrell Mitchell plays, I think they get the result. I really do. So I think he'll play. And if he does, I'm going to go for an upset there with the Bunnies.
Okay, we're sticking with the Bunnies on that one. Cowboys should bounce back and probably will bounce back against the Warriors up there in Townsville.
Yeah, I think they will. Warriors very good at home last week, but I think the Cowboys will be too strong.
Broncos have the Storm. So Friday night at Suncorp Stadium, Storm $1.54, Broncos $2.50. So it's sixth for the Broncos versus Melbourne Storm, fourth on the ladder.
Yeah, I think Storm, they'll suffocate the Broncos' attack, I think, with their defence.
Eels v. Bulldogs will be out at CommBank Stadium for this one. So it's going to be a big afternoon. So Parramatta against the 12th place Bulldogs.
Yeah, look, I'm going to go for Parramatta. Mitchell Moses a big in. I think they've shown that Parramatta, when they have a poor performance, they go out the next week and play pretty well. So, and they got beaten quite heavily by the Bulldogs early in the year, so I'll go Para.
Okay, Eels to win. Then Saturday afternoon, 5:30, Seagulls v Sharks at home for Manly at Four Pines Park at Brookvale.
Manly need to win. Manly need to bounce back. I can see them upsetting the Sharks. Sharks have been on fire, but I'm going to go for an upset at home. Four Pines Stadium, the your team, mate.
Okay. I like the way you're thinking. I wish I shared your confidence. That's Roosters. Right. Roosters v West Tigers then on Saturday night at the SCG again.
Yeah, Roosters by plenty there.
Yep, Roosters, that could be a big one. Dragons have the Titans, so as we move into the two games on Sunday, the first is at Wynn Stadium, Dragons v Titans, a doubleheader there, of course, with the NRLW matchup before that one.
Yeah, so I think, I think the Dragons were pretty good against Canberra last weekend. I think the Dragons will win at home there. Amone, the young 5'8", I thought it was a career-best game for him, so he'll get some confidence, and I see the Dragons winning.
Dragons to win. And then the final game of round 23, mate, the Knights versus Raiders. So Ricky's back in town, but Newcastle at home. Oh, boy, couldn't they silence a whole heap of trouble here if they could put up a solid effort at home against the Raiders?
Yeah, well, I hope they do. But I don't have great confidence. I think, the Raiders have got more to play for. They're still fighting for a top eight. Ricky's back. It'll be close, but I think the Raiders will have more to play for and get a result.
Good on you, mate. I'm going to leave you with a text from one of our listeners. How is Siebs not head coach at the NRL? Crikey, ditch the pom, Siebs. He says, I think you're happy at the moment, aren't you, mate? There's a World Cup around the corner.
Yeah, no, I'm happy at the moment, yeah.
Good on you, mate. We'll speak next week.
Good on you. Thanks, Matty.
Anthony Seibold with the Morning Show Game Plan. Back after this.